What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
I want to go Uber here for a second, okay? Oh, yeah. There was a report that SoftBank, speaking of Didi, selling their Uber shares to cover their Didi stake, okay? Yeah. Here's Uber this morning, overnight.
This is like selling the winners to finance the losers right here. Classic, yeah. You know, scenario. They were a big investor, one of the biggest, if not the biggest investor in Didi, and Didi going straight down, and they're raising up cash. So they're selling their investment or a lot of their investment in Uber to because of the Didi losses. So, I mean, we're seeing, you know, Uber trade down here. I don't know if we got the pricing on that yet, if you've seen the pricing go by, because that can impact it. But, you know, as of right now, it's down 5% because SoftBank's dumping stock.
Well, it was a report from the FT. So, Uber, you know, I haven't looked at Lyft for a while. I know that it's not really involved here, but I'm just curious.
These stocks, let's just give Uber some perspective, too. And you know what? If you really do believe in the reopening trade here, here's a reopening stock, and Uber is a reopening stock. I know somebody's saying, well, it's a stay-at-home stock, too, because they got the Uber Eats, but it's also a reopening play.
Yep.
This has come down significantly, $64 at the high. Now you get SoftBank dumping their stock. Are they dumping it at the low? I tend to think so. So this is a stock that I actually would be interested in buying. Ooh. You're looking at the May low. $43.17. I don't know where the pricing is. I don't like to come out on it because the pricing is at $40 or something crazy. I don't think it's going to be, though. Maybe it's already out there. I haven't done the homework on it. But I think that $43.17 low in May is a nice bogey area, and you're retesting that here this morning on a SoftBank sale, a company. Valuation's never been great. I don't know if I'm sticking in my long-term portfolio, but as a short-term trade here, if you want to buy near the lows, you got a shot here. And I mean, if the reopening trade does fizzle out and we all go back into lockdown and this variant turns out to be something significant, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the ifs. You're always analyzing risk reward with if-then scenarios. That's the risk. So I don't think that's going to happen. And that's why I'm looking at reopening plays. And here is an Uber, which does have a little bit of the lockdown play with the Uber Eats, but it's mostly reopening. I kind of like it here at $43. So I like Uber today.
Wow.
Yeah, buying the dip.
Okay.
There I am.
Can we talk Nikola for just a second?
I just wrote Uber on my list. I'm not in it yet, but thinking about it.
I did not see that one coming this morning. Okay,
Nikola. I didn't see it coming until I just looked at the chart.
Yeah, Nikola, Trevor Milton.
Nikola.
Trevor Milton has been indicted on charges that he made false and misleading statements to investors. So there you go.
I don't know what to say about Nikola. I don't know what to say about a lot of these.
You know what? You know what? Actually, the whole sector caught a bid the last 2 days on, I guess, the infrastructure bill is getting through the pipes in Congress slowly but surely. So the whole sector caught a bid, yesterday, the day before, or maybe just yesterday, but giving it all back now.
You can buy the dip on this stock if you stop yourself out at the 27th low, which was July 27th and talking the 1308. So below $13, I would stop myself out. You're getting a retest there. So maybe it holds. And you can't just do it perfectly. I mean, maybe you got to give yourself like 50 cents, like 1280 or something like that, because it's like, oh, boom, 1308. And then it went down to 13. And you're like, oh, I took it out. I got to get out. And then it bounces and just sold the bottom. So it's never a perfect science, but it's a rough bogey target. There's some, should be some support at 13. We're still trading above that level here this morning. If you think the buy the dippers are going to come back in on a stock like Uber and Nikola, then maybe that's the case. I got a fruit fly flying around my face. That's why I just did that. But anyways, it's $13.30 here. I don't mind it here as a trade. Got to stop yourself out below 13, though. So Miriskin 30 cents to get a look to see if then, you know, and maybe you wait till after the open, or maybe you're coming on the open. I can bring up Nikola actually is a New York Stock Exchange stock, so we can get an opening indication for it. Well, no, they're not open yet. So it will eventually, the designated market maker on the floor is still showing zeros, so they haven't updated it yet, but they will eventually update it. I think 13, oh no, actually, sorry, Nikola is not. Nikola is a NASDAQ stock. I don't know what I was thinking. That's why it's zeros. So at 928, you get the opening indication for Nikola. So we'll see what it looks at 928. 925, you start getting the opening you know, imbalance coming out there. So that'll be a tell for us there too. So more information coming there, but $13, big number for Nikola.
Yeah, hard to emulate Elon Musk. Anyway, all right, let's do Facebook real fast. Facebook earnings last night, EPS blew it away, of course. We knew that would happen, right? $3.61 versus a $3.02 estimate. Sales, a little over $29 billion versus a $27.8 billion estimate. So they beat the both numbers. Again, not a shocker. If you saw what Twitter did and Snapchat and Google, you had a feeling this was going to happen with regards to the expectations. But with regards to the reaction is a whole different story, because I mentioned this earlier. Yeah. Facebook spent a lot of their call downplaying expectations for the upcoming quarter, saying, look, the growth is just there's no way we can possibly sustain the kind of growth that we just had for the last year. Also, interestingly enough, they didn't mention the metaverse a lot, like 20 times during the call.
What the hell is the metaverse?
Did you
explain to me? And I hear this word all the time, but I know, and I got a kind of a glimpse, but seriously though.
Did you see the movie Ready Player One or read the book?
No.
Okay.
Either.
It is a virtual world.
Okay.
As simply as it can be put, it is a virtual world.
Virtual reality. Like,
it is
buying houses that are like for 600 grand, so you can put on your guard, go through your mansion. I mean, oh my God.
If it will help you picture it, think something like The Matrix.
If that'll help you picture it. I actually think I hate the metaverse.
You don't even know what it is and he hates it.
I don't even know what it is, but I think I hate it. So, but you know what? I hated NFTs off the bat too, and then I warmed up to it. So maybe I'll warm up to the metaverse. But holy mackerel, this is just seems crazy. Like, you know, like, and I guess, you know, you're talking about a different generation. You know, Joel and I are older. Maybe we can't appreciate this whole virtual reality, but
you're not that much older.
But I just don't get it. I don't get what the whole purpose to a virtual, like, does your life suck so much that you have to, you know, go into another universe to get relief from your own crappy life?
Sometimes
that's your life then. Right, at least try.
Sometimes I wish I could. You know?
I honestly do not get this metaverse stuff. And yeah, I'm hearing this word everywhere. And obviously, you know, the crypto is linked to it and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm long some Ethereum because, oh, yeah, it's the NFT stuff, the play. But I don't get it. I just don't get it. Sorry.
Do you get Facebook stock, though? Do you get that?
I get Facebook stock. And the stock has been cheap on a valuation level for a long time. We know the stock's been growing. This is a classic example to a run-up. You had the classic earnings run-up here, which we talk about extracting that alpha. We're going to talk about that on the 21st as well, but in more details on how we find, you know, this alpha ahead of the earnings report. The easy money is made ahead of the reports, and they bought it up for 6-7 days ahead of the report, and obviously expectations very high coming in, and they couldn't meet those high expectations, similar to Apple. I mean, Apple was bought and sold off at that 150 level, like the Rock of Gibraltar and Apple. We kissed right up there again, and we couldn't get through it. And now you're looking at a dreaded double top in Apple. So here, completely talking against my buck. But if I had Apple on for a trade, I'd be selling into rallies here right now. I've got Apple only in the long-term invest portfolio. I've had it in there for a decade. It's not going anywhere. But, I mean, this 150 is a big level for it. So, Facebook, same story. Good earnings, everything firing on all cylinders, but it was as good as it gets. And, you know, expectations were just simply too high. And that's why we're down $13 a day. Does it bounce right back? I think you got to look for these are all trading together. They always have the FANG stocks, Apple, Amazon. We're going to get Amazon tonight, which is going to help dictate the movement of all these stocks as well. Microsoft sold off a little bit after its report. Four tops, called the four tops on Microsoft at 290. This is big technical resistance. So you won, like you look like you have an Apple failure. Microsoft, you look like you could have a failure at 290. So, you know, Amazon still to be determined because we got earnings coming up along all these stocks in the long-term portfolio, by the way. And then you got Facebook, which broke out and made a new all-time high yesterday, and it's coming off too. So right now, FANG doesn't look as healthy as FANG did a week ago.
All right. And with regards to the Amazon report and all these big reports, we've been restreaming them on our YouTube channel. So we've the Facebook earnings call is there, the Apple call is there, the Twitter call, Tesla, all these earnings calls are on our channel. We'll be streaming the Amazon call tonight. I think it's scheduled for 5:30 Eastern time. So check that out if you want to hang and listen to the first earnings call without Jeff Bezos at the helm. Okay, Dennis, it's been great to have you back. I want to get a blue partner.
Great to be back.
In a second.
I missed you guys. I missed everyone in the chat, too. Even the haters. I missed the haters, too. I missed everyone.
All the losers and the haters. You missed them.
I missed everyone. I missed the winners. I missed the losers. I missed the haters. I missed the lovers. I missed everyone. So I missed everybody.
We didn't get to all the stocks. We barely got to the chat. We didn't get to PayPal or Lending Club. We will get to
or DKNG. I had all these stocks on my list. I mean, there's so many on my list, and we didn't get to any of them.
Tell you what, we'll be talking about this stuff all day, though, through the rest of our stream after this live trading with myself and Mitch and Ryan and Zunaid. So, Dennis, go enjoy the rest of your day. Good luck. I want to bring on Blue Putnam, though, because we did not even talk really about the Fed. And Blue will hopefully provide some clarity as far as what exactly was said, because I'll be honest with you guys, I've never been good. I say this every time. I've never been good at interpreting Fed speak, especially when they can't answer a question with a straight answer. So Blue Putnam, Managing Director, Chief Economist at the CME Group, is joining me now. Blue, good morning. Am I right to feel this frustration?
Blue? Oh, of course. You know, back in the day when Alan Greenspan was running the Fed, he had a famous quote. He said, "If you think I understood what I said, I misspoke." I mean, and that's a tradition at the Federal Reserve, is that they want to be data dependent. They want to be flexible. And so they don't want to draw any lines in the sand. If they give a direction of what they might do next, they don't want to give timing. If they give timing, they don't want to tell you what they want to do, you know?
So, okay. So all that's being said, we know they never really want to show their cards. What cards did they show us yesterday?
Well, they did change their press release to put in an extra word that they want. They're going to wait to do anything until there's a sustained period. They want a long period for the recovery. But in the press conference, Chairman Jay Powell was actually a little more clear about why they're ambiguous right now. And it's because they have a dual mandate, low unemployment and 2% inflation. Okay. They're missing both targets, but in different directions. And that's unusual. And that, you know, that gives them a conflicted state of mind, because we've got 6 million jobs we have not recovered from the pandemic. You know, we have another, we've recovered, you know, we lost 21 million jobs. We got 6 million to go. Now, parts of the labor market are strong. You know, restaurants are hiring, they're raising salaries, but those are low paying jobs and they're going to take a while to come back. And then you look at inflation, the other mandate, we're at 5% inflation. We're well above the target. So the Fed's saying, well, wait a minute, you know, that's just temporary. We can wait a while. But, you know, they got one goal where they're on the wrong end of the target. The unemployment says they should wait. The inflation says they should do something. You know, your head is in the freezer and your feet are in the oven and you feel fine. No, you don't do anything. You know, that's where we're at.
Okay. I guess that's so they changed one word, and that's the word that we're going to hang our hats on here going forward.
You got to speak the Fed's language. You know, they have entire lists of words they use. They agonize about this stuff. I mean, I would think it's a waste of time, but that's what they do. And that's what Fed watchers have learned to do, you know?
Well, one thing that was frustrating, or that jumped out to me was during the press conference, and Steve Leisman asked for, what was his question? He asked for data, on how they would, quantify recovery, or it wasn't recovery, but anyway, they Jerome Powell was like, I'm not going to give you any data on that. I think he was talking about recovery. Did any timelines, I mean, change on that front or how the Fed is thinking about this? Or do we have any other insights as far as like where the Fed thinks we're at?
No, I mean, there were no real changes. The market slept through the press conference and everything. You really didn't get all that much of a reaction. But, you know, one of the things you really have to remember is that the Fed we're seeing today that's talking about what they're going to do next year isn't the Fed we're going to have next year.
True.
Janet Yellen's opening on the Fed hasn't been filled. Biden's going to fill that in the third or fourth quarter. The vice chair for supervision, that's probably going to get changed. Jay Powell may get reappointed. He may not. There's a camp one way or the other. We have a rotation of the regional feds as to who votes and who doesn't. So the people that are going to make the decision next year aren't the ones giving the guidance today. So you're going to be careful, you know?
Okay. I got to ask you, Blue, about the GDP print that we got here this morning for Q2, 6.5% GDP growth. I saw estimates as high as 8%. Is that right? I'm not sure. Can you interpret this number for us?
Yeah, it's disappointing. You're exactly right. Back of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, first quarter, many economists, myself included, were looking for a higher number in the second quarter. I will tell you that this number will probably be revised upward.
Nice.
They don't have a lot of data on they get data on retail sales and the trade deficit and things like that after this number is released. So this is what they call an advanced projection. But it's still a little lower. Now, I have to give the Atlanta Fed's model credibility. It was also looking at above 8% numbers of like 6 or 8 weeks ago. And they ratcheted down to this number in the last week. So, you know, that the data has not come in as strong as you might have liked for the month of June. And, you know, you can blame that on the lack of vaccinations. You know, as we've realized that if people don't get vaccinated, you know, more people are going to go to the hospital. Some people are going to die and the economy's not going to recover as fast. So it's all about the pace of vaccinations. And, you know, that's slowed down.
Blue, are there any numbers you have on your radar? We got the jobs number next Friday. Any big numbers that you have on your radar here that you're watching especially closely?
Well, you know, I try to stay away from forecasting these monthly numbers because
not as far as forecasting, yeah. But just like numbers that you think are going to be.
No.
Yeah.
The main message I have is that the best numbers of the year are probably in the rearview mirror. Even if that 6.5% was disappointing, the third and fourth quarters are likely to be a little slower because, you know, when you come out of a pandemic, you get a bounce. Okay, we've had a bounce, and that's worth a quarter or two. And then you start to slow down toward the more trend growth rate. Same thing with jobs. The jobs number for June that was released in early July, probably the best number of the year. And then we're going to still add jobs, but not at a pace, the same pace, because the bounce is over. And so, you know, I think we have to come to grips with we're heading toward trend. And trend, you know, for the U.S. is 2.5% GDP. It's just going to be a slow, long haul to get the last part of this back.
So it's basically just a case of, like you said, a bounce and like the amplitude just getting smaller, right, each time, right, and we just resume a general trend.
Yeah, unless something, of course, disrupts that trend, and you know what we've learned is that the lack of, you know, there's a large minority of people that have decided not to get vaccinated. That's definitely slowing down the economy, or not making it grow as fast. We're growing, so I didn't say that quite right. You know, but
okay.
We're growing, but not as fast as we'd like. But we don't know what that will mean. I mean. You know, Fed Chairman Powell held out the hope that that things wouldn't be as bad related to the vaccine as some people were thinking. So he was a little more optimistic about the second half. But you know, he phrased that in your ambiguous terms of it was hope. It was not a forecast.
Yeah. All right, Blue Putnam is managing director and chief economist at the CME Group, and he joins us to break down Fed speak and break down economic numbers periodically. Blue, pleasure to talk as always, sir. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. All right, guys, it is 9:10, and a lot we did not cover on the show today, but that's okay because we have other shows that I'm sure we're going to talk about all this stuff on. So coming up next, we got live trading with myself, Ryan Faluna, Zunaid Suleiman, Money Mitch Hotch. We will hang out with you. I think they're going to start out in a few minutes here, and we'll just go with you through the open, and that will be a ton of fun. And we're going to have a few guests join us as well. And yeah, we've gotten some great feedback. If you've not watched that, we've been trying to do more of that, this week, more just, you know, group team-wide hangouts and trading and just doing more of a round table type thing. So, that's what we'll do next. We of course have SPACs Attack today. We've got the Power Hour. We got Get Technical. The Crypto Show is back. Biotech Buzz, Zinger Stock Trivia. I have not yet decided, to be honest with you, if I'm going to do an At the Close show because I have no Joel, and Dennis is way too busy at that time. So I'll figure that out, whether what's going on at 3:30. The Benzinga Cannabis Hour is going to be live at 4 o'clock today. After Hours with Ryan Rose Biondi at 5. I mentioned again we're going to be streaming the Amazon earnings call at 5:30, and then Chance Trades at 6 o'clock today. To wrap up the day, we'll do a Benzinga Pro webinar in the evening. Speaking of Benzinga Pro, guys, if you have not checked the platform out, I do recommend you at least try a free two-week trial, okay? Pro.benzinga.com. Link is up on the screen there. Free two-week trial. Check it out. That's what this platform is. You've got news feeds. You've got scanners. You've got calendars. You've got chats. You can chat with our news desk right here. You can chat with other people on the platform right there. You've got our Squawk, which is probably my favorite feature on the on the platform, just in terms of convenience. Like I said, scanners across the board, press releases, news items, the whole nine yards. Again, free two-week trial, pro.benzinga.com. If you want more than that, you can get a discount by entering their promo code YouTube20. That's also up there on the screen, YouTube20. We'll get you 20% off any Benzinga Pro subscription. If you have any more questions about Benzinga Pro, any more questions at all, just email these guys, onboarding@benzinga.com, and they will answer your questions. And if they don't, then tell me, and I'll go bust some kneecaps, all right? But they should. They will. They're great. Okay. That's going to be a wrap for me here. Man, guys, was it great or was it great to have Dennis back? It sucks that Joel couldn't be here as well, but, Dennis just took a week off. He hasn't taken a week off in a year and a half. So it was great. Great to have Dennis back. He'll be back tomorrow. And we'll have the whole crew back on Monday for the first time in a week and a half. But yeah, miss Dennis. There was a bunch of things in chat that I saw that I wrote down or made note of that we didn't get to. The big thing that I wanted to get to, we ran out of time, was I wanted to ask him, James, your question about the breadth, market breadth. I saw that at the top of the hour and I wrote it down, and I will ask, we'll talk more about breadth tomorrow. I think today was a bit of a catch up day, for old Denny. So yeah, please keep on dropping those tickers in. I do my very best to write them down, but if you drop something in the chat and we didn't get to it, just hop on over to our very next show, which will be starting here in a few minutes. This stream will redirect to that, and we can just answer your questions there as well. We do our very best to answer as many questions in the chat as we can. So all of that being said, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Yeah, guys, smash the like button. Where's my phone little graphic? Smash the like button, right? Subscribe to Benzinga on YouTube if you haven't already. We'd appreciate that. Thanks to my guests, Blue. Thanks to Peter. Thanks to all of you.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.